This is Aspiring Altruists, the show where you'll hear the stories of young professionals in the nonprofit sector working to change the world. We'll dive into their backgrounds, hear about the work they do, and ultimately learn how they got to where they are and how you can do the same. With the nonprofit sector comprising one of the largest U.S. workforces by tackling the world's biggest problems across 9 major categories, you may just hear something that could change your life, and through it, the lives of countless others. Today's guest is someone who has a passion for using stories to create progressive change, Don Wolford. Don is a stories manager at the Center for American Progress, a progressive think tank dedicated to improving the lives of Americans through ideas and action. He's doing this having graduated from Kent State a couple of years ago with a degree in political science and government. Don shares about his early career story, what has led to him working in the progressive political realm, the power that stories have in creating change, and more. With that, let's hear from Don. So, Don, tell the listeners a little bit about the role that you're in and the organization you work for.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. Thanks for having me. And I work as stories manager on the stories team at the Center for American Progress and CAP Action Fund. And for context, CAP is an independent progressive policy institute and advocacy organization based, you know, where I'm calling you from, which is Washington, D.C. And CAP was founded during the George W. Bush administration back in 2003 by former Clinton White House Chief of Staff John Podesta, who was motivated to create a progressive counterpart to some of Washington's influential conservative-leaning think tanks. And I've been at the organization and on my team for about 2.5 years now. And I started on the team as a stories associate. And our team's mission is really to identify and interview Americans nationwide whose stories demonstrate the value of progressive policies. So, you know, when I came onto the team, we were working on a lot of stories related to the care economy, childcare, home care. And so I was tasked with finding folks who had been impacted by that issue area, interviewing them, and then working with those folks to help elevate their experiences through a variety of different mediums, through things like written products, connections with reporters, videos, social media content, events, and content on our website. So I've been working on the team ever since, and earlier this year, I was promoted to stories manager, and now in that role, I'm tasked with managing projects for the team, such as media training for storytellers, tasked with building and maintaining strategic relationships with other organizations in advocacy and in media, and also tracking the team's outreach and output in terms of the work that we do with our storytellers. So it's been a great journey, and really proud of all that we've accomplished since I've joined the team.
Nice. Yeah, and I know in the role that you're in now, the stories manager, as well as the role before, and you were kind of alluding to it there, you really focus on the power of stories and using those to create change. Can you share with the listeners here a little bit of how that actually works? How it leads to change?
Absolutely. As human beings, we think fundamentally in terms of stories. You know, you can throw a million statistics out there, and that has its purpose and it can educate, but nothing resonates quite as much on an emotional level and in that that recall that we have when it comes to public policy. You know, nothing resonates as much as a person talking about their lived experiences. And so our team started up during the Affordable Care Act repeal fight that happened during the Trump administration back in 2017. And the thinking was really to highlight stories about the impact that the Affordable Care Act had had and continues to have in people's lives. And that was obviously before my time on the team, but the work that the team was able to do with storytellers, played a significant role in shaping the public conversation about really the merits and, the importance of that signature piece of healthcare legislation. And so in the years since, the team's focus and scope when it comes to issue areas has adapted a little bit over time. And it's based largely on, looking at what is missing from the public conversation in terms of storytelling. And as I mentioned, when I first joined the team, it was a lot of work about the care economy. And today, probably the biggest gap we see is in perceptions around the economy. We've got a pretty interesting economy right now, especially in terms of how everyday Americans view their personal finances in contrast to the national economy. And we see distinctions in how people view their local economy, their state economy, and the national economy. And there's really a gap there, and it is something that we are really looking to tackle by doing storytelling work that can humanize the impact of some of the economic policies that have been passed over the past several years. So within that broader context, there are, a few key lanes that we're, working to source stories within. And the hope there is to really emphasize some of the economic progress that's being made across the country in terms of the growth of good-paying, family-sustaining career paths, in terms of investment in communities that, maybe have been divested from in the past, and in terms of tackling some of this inflation and, concerns about costs that we've seen over the past few years. And so the mission is really by putting the policy, which is having, really substantial impacts through the lens of a variety of diverse experiences across the country. Someone who is a union worker who is going to work on a big road project or a bridge project for the next 5 years as a result of these federal investments, or someone who is a type 1 diabetic and has spent their entire life worrying about whether they're going to be able to afford their insulin when they go to the pharmacy. Those stories are so important, and they are able to shape the public conversation in a way that a policy report, while very, very important in, helping out with the implementation and the creation of policy, these stories are able to really shape hearts and minds in a way that those more wonky types of reports simply cannot. And so all of this work, the quantitative and the qualitative, the wonky research and the personal lived stories, they have to work in tandem. And so that's where we come in.
Nice. Yeah. And I know, talking about the work that you did there, but speaking specifically about your story and kind of how you got to where you are, I know before working in the progressive politics realm here in DC, very common thing to be working in, that you spent a few years working for a roofing company out in Ohio. So what did you learn from that, and how did that connect to you and kind of apply to the work that you're doing now here in DC?
That's a great question, Adam. And I think at first it seems like something that would be so different and so far removed from what I'm doing now, but it remains a really influential part of my personal journey to this day. And it's near and dear to my heart because it's a family story. So, I grew up in a pretty blue collar household in Northeast Ohio, more specifically the area around Youngstown. And my mom manages a restaurant that's a local staple. And my dad is a self-employed roofing contractor and small business owner. And so my first job that I did for, I forget even how many years at this point, but I worked for his roofing company, Top Right Roofing, part-time through school, usually in between semesters. And over the years, he really taught me a lot of tricks of the trade. So, you know, how to perform lasting repairs, how to safely climb a ladder and send materials up and down, how to identify what materials needed to be used to perform the most effective repair possible. And my dad, he's a very hardworking guy. And in observing him and working with him and being challenged by him, it taught me a lot about the value of hard work and the importance of doing things right the first time. And I think that's such an important thing to prioritize in any job, really. And in the work that I do today, it is so important when working with personal stories to make sure that you are capturing the heart of each person's story, making sure that you are sensitive to topics that may be very deeply personal, sometimes traumatic, and that you know, you're not making any flubs when it comes to their words. And so it really helped me to become detail oriented, which is really important in this type of work. And I think as well, because my dad was and he is to this day, you know, self-employed, he has to go out and he has to build those connections that, you know, enable him to get a contract for a job. And that takes a lot of proactivity. And witnessing that has really helped me to model that same proactivity in my organizing work. So I have to do a lot of, you know, cold outreach to storytellers, to organizations across the country, and have to be able to explain succinctly the work that we're doing. And I think just witnessing from an early age how he built and maintained those relationships, but also given that today I work with a lot of union members in the building trades in my current role, you know, I'm able to speak from a place of knowledge as well,
right?
Of you know, working in the trades, and that enables me to, you know, have that kind of cred and be able to ask informed questions and really appreciate the hard work that men and women are doing all across the country when it comes to, you know, some of these blue collar career paths that are going to be so critical to implementing the infrastructure and green energy investments that we've seen get passed over the past couple of years.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely key. I know in storytelling, to be able to relate with your audience, and especially if you want to use it to create change and kind of being able to show that you understand what people are going through, that you can kind of relate to that, and that you're hearing their issues, and that you have some of that background knowledge, like you were describing you do in the blue collar sector, is important, especially being here in DC, where a lot of outsiders can see the big cities like this and the kind of work that I know you're doing and I'm doing in my role, as like a bubble kind of environment. So, yeah. And speaking about getting that outside perspective and kind of going beyond the DC bubble, I know you also did a study abroad program back during undergrad over in Germany, and that you learned about their politics, their culture. Can you tell the listeners a bit about what you learned from that experience and what impact it's had on the work that you're doing now?
Sure. So it was, you know, a trip that was 2 weeks long. We traveled across multiple parts of Germany, from Frankfurt to Erfurt, Berlin, and Dresden. And we met with officials from various German parties. It was very interesting to learn more about their parliamentary system there and how different it is to our system of government here. And I think what stuck with me the most, well, there's two things. First, I'll say I really appreciated the opportunity to see the impact of public investments. They have a fantastic public transit system there. that folks who live in the DC area would be very envious of, and
right.
probably most cities here in the US. But
yeah.
Beyond that, I got to see some of the impacts of authoritarianism when implemented. Germany as a country, obviously from the rise of the Nazis and then Soviet control of East Germany, there's a lot of history of authoritarianism there and inhumane atrocities. And in this era in which we see a rise globally of extreme right-wing, ultra-nationalist, and anti-immigrant political parties and political leaders, it's so important to revisit that history and to see how these things happen, very, very slowly until, you wake up one day and the institutional levers of democracy have eroded. And, we met when we were there with a spokesperson for the AfD party, which is one of those very right-wing ultra-nationalist parties. And I just remember coming out of that meeting feeling emboldened to fight back against that type of agenda. And that definitely shaped the report that I put together on that trip, which related to the propaganda techniques employed by authoritarian regimes. And I would say that the work that I'm doing today aims to really do the opposite of that type of propaganda, which is authoritarian propaganda seeks to dehumanize and to really make people view their counterparts as an other. And what we're really trying to do is to humanize, to provoke empathy by another person's story, and to provide the opportunity to step into another person's footsteps. And in doing so, to learn about the transformative impacts that progressive public policy can have as an alternative to that right-wing authoritarian mindset and approach when it comes to governing.
Yeah, that is the challenge, is how do you humanize? And I mean, there's some instances, as is always the case, like on both sides, in terms of seeing the other side as the other. And that's the challenge, to not fall into that of like the other means that they're not humans, or means that, yeah, that they're just something that's a roadblock. And I know that's something I wrestle with as well. I'm working in the climate space, like having to deal with people that may not believe that your work is even needed because is climate change real, things like that. And so similar, I imagine, there in regards to what you were talking about, government structure and democracy and authoritarian stuff. Well, I know you've talked about the work that you're doing and all that, and what you've been doing kind of in the short term, what you've learned already in your career. Do you have any sense of what you ultimately hope to accomplish through the work you're doing now, or more broadly in your career?
Yeah, there's a few goals that motivate me at a core level. A lot of what we've been talking about is something I hope to continue doing, which is to humanize the results of public policy. And as a progressive, I think Progressives need to do a better job in general of uplifting the results of the policies that we believe in, because they can have such transformative impacts, but we really need to do the work to make sure those impacts get communicated and uplifted, and personal stories, in my opinion, are the best way to do that. So I really would like to continue to uplift the personal lived experiences in my career going forward. And I think that works toward another goal of mine, which is to prompt engagement with our political process. I think there's so much cynicism out there today, and it's understandable. I mean, there's so much noise involved in politics, and it can seem, because of how our structures are set up, that things are ineffectual, or that folks are always only looking out for themselves. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize situations in which, you know, that is the case. But as a whole, I think disillusionment from the political process only serves the interest of those who seek to exploit politics for their own gain. And so important to, you know, register to vote, to make your voice heard, to get involved, especially at your local community level, which is where so much political change can happen. It's so important to just stay engaged and keep that sense of hope with the process. Another topic of importance to me is really supporting unionization efforts. I am a member of a union myself at CAP. And as I mentioned, I work with union members across the country. And I hear time and time again how unionization and collective bargaining helps to secure improved wages, benefits, respect in the workplace. And going beyond that, we've seen over the past few decades a real erosion in terms of worker power and just you know, the power of the working and middle class in this country. And it's my opinion that unionization is perhaps the best way to turn the tide on those trends. And taken as a whole, I guess, you know, the goal that I'm hoping to accomplish is to continue paving the way for more progressive change. And, you know, I'm in Washington, and I know, you know, things happen incrementally. And it's just a matter, as I said, of, you know, really communicating what can be accomplished, what has been accomplished, and that can help pave the way for further change over time. Right. And as you can probably tell, I'm very, very passionate about economic policy and the policies, more specifically, like childcare, like labor policy, and so many others that are the policies that can help create more pathways to the middle class and give the average person a little bit more breathing room when it comes time to pay the bills.
Those all definitely, make sense. Like that's kind of the goal, right? To make that kind of lasting change in a wide variety of different areas. If there were, there's a question that I ask all of my guests here, which is, you know, if there were one sort of quick thing about either life or work or any other area that you want to share with your fellow young adult listeners, what would that one thing be?
That is an excellent question. And I guess what I'd say is to find the people who help you stay grounded and provide a respite outside of work. I think in the US in general, and particularly in politics, work can be such an all-consuming thing. And It's really important to be passionate about the work that you do. That should be, a goal to pursue, something you enjoy doing, something you care about. But
Right.
at the same time, it's so important just for mental health and just to be able to unplug, I think, in this day and age of Slack and hybrid work and Zoom calls, it's harder to unplug and get that respite from work. And so that's why
Right.
I say just pursuing opportunities and maintaining those connections that help provide that strong foundation outside of work. And I'm fortunate to have a wonderful support system from, my lovely family, my partner Maddie, some amazing friends and loved ones with diverse
Right.
interests, many of whom work very far outside of politics. And we have shared interests in things like music, writing, improv, comedy, a number of other things. And I think that helps keep me grounded and just provides a way to help my mind relax from
Right.
these issues that we've been talking about that can seem so important and rightfully so, but can really become all-consuming, as I said. So just so
Right.
important to have that network.
Well, that's about what I've got time for you here today. How can our listeners connect with you if they'd like to learn more about your story?
Yeah, please feel free to reach out. I'm on LinkedIn, so you can connect with me there. I'm Don Wolford. Also, please feel free to email me at DWOLFORD at AmericanProgress.org.
Gotcha.
Would love to connect with anyone who wants to reach out.
Alrighty, well, as always, I will link to your LinkedIn profile as well as to your email address down in the show notes so people can reach out. But yeah, definitely thanks for coming on the show today, sharing your story.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to today's show. Hopefully you learned something new about the work happening in the nonprofit sector and were inspired to get involved. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening from. If you want to learn more about today's guest, how you can contact them, and explore the organization they work for, check out the show notes. But that'll do it for this episode. Come back next time to hear from yet another aspiring altruist.